All you gotta do is put it on A and start recording.
I just hit record and it was on A already.
Okay. The promise of all these developments, which were taking place on such a wide scale basis, you know, was obviously a fundamental thing going on in the world, and particularly in the whole left. The ultimate collapse of these organizations, and I wouldn't say failure, but I would say they didn't fulfill their promise, we didn't fulfill our promise, was extremely confusing, disappointing. It was like a major setback for many people on the left. Not that we didn't learn things out of it, but and I think that it wasn't just our organizations, the New Communist Movement, that didn't deliver. It was the whole movement in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, the Civil Rights Movement was great, but did it actually get to the root of the problem and solve the fundamental issues?
But this is the problem that I have with everything I hear about sort of... Let me step back. I mean, this is the issue that I have with the way of thinking that is what I hear when you talk about how you guys used to think about things, which is the idea that you're ever going to do any one thing that is going to fix something basic, right? Like, you know, Sweden has the welfare state it has because of 30 years of incremental change. They didn't have a revolution, right? You know, everything requires, and I feel like when we've had these conversations about sort of what you think maybe Marx might have envisioned the period of socialism to look like, it certainly seems to me that there's people that understand the idea that radical social change is both incremental and long-term. And so the idea that it would ever seem natural that you would have a movement that would win a victory, that would cope with the fundamental problem, just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I agree with that. I think that that's true, and it's not that that's what I think. It's just also true that it's been very confusing. It's been a big letdown. It's not something that we've really answered in our post, in that period that's come afterwards, in terms of how to move forward. Now, I will say, I think the collapse of the Soviet Union, the obvious crap that's going on in China, the collapse of the New Communist Movement, all of those things, I think, have created a wealth of experience and opened people up to thinking about things in a lot more liberated, new ways. And I think there's a tremendous amount of stuff that's developing right now throughout the world in terms of creative thinking about how to advance towards a better society. I really think that that's true, and I think that's really positive. I mean, it's also true that given the instability of the situation, we face tremendous dangers from the right as well. It's not like there's any preordained reason why we're going to get towards a better society instead of a worse society.
Except for the fact
Except
that...
Except for grams, though, which it didn't used to be, really.
You know, I mean, I understand that my vantage point is very privileged, but my worldview really is one of incremental progress over time, right?
Always. No leaps.
Oh, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean constant and linear. Mm-hmm. I just mean I do feel like things are getting better over time. And I think the reason is, and so, you know, the place where I think you have to question that is Africa, you know, and the environment, and a couple of things, you know, kind of these sort of basic places where things have not gotten better over time, or where, you know, with the environment, where things are just kind of potentially getting to a crisis point, right?
Or if...
But in terms of social advances, right, that... So starting from the perspective that I fundamentally believe that democracy is a better form of government than non-democracy, right? And that expanded franchise is a good thing, even if, from the social science literature perspective, we know that expanding formal rights creates a platform on which to claim those rights. And so it doesn't mean that when you create that right legally that people now have it, but it means they can claim it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And that means that at least for some people, some of the time things get better, and in some cases it means that you continue to up the ante over time. And those are things that, you know, that I feel like at least in the United States you see steady progress. You know, so now people are coping with a new set of issues, that racism is often still sort of overt, but now is much more mixed with these complicated issues of poverty and, you know, urban development and all of these other things that people recognize that they have to have more complex responses. But there's a ton of people, you know, thinking about this stuff and working on this stuff.
Well, do you think it's possible that there could be a reverse of those trends? In the sense that we could enter a situation, for instance, if this economic downturn ended up being the collapse of capitalism or a incredibly severe and prolonged financial and economic crisis, and conflict and resources started running out and the world started warming and more repressive governments could be instituted, and there could be setbacks of this progress that, yes, we can see certain kinds of progress, and that we might end up with a resurgence of, you know, I don't know that fascist would be the right word, but, you know, really harsh government and increased poverty and increased war and all of that.
Sure.
So you don't believe that this steady progress is something that's inevitable.
Right. And, you know, and I have doubts about it, right? Like, that's my gut feeling, but I can think of a lot of arguments to be made for why it's not right. You know?
Why what's not right?
That there's this, that this progress is taking place. Right? But, I mean, we know, right? Like, you know, unemployment in Europe, you know, we've seen that it's made small French parties start to gain seats both on the far left and the far right, which has really freaked people out, especially places like Germany where you get neo-Nazi parties starting to win some small state seats. And, you know, but those things always go two ways, right? And I think that there's a big difference between that kind of stuff happening under an Obama and that kind of stuff happening under Bush, in terms of crisis and right, because I actually don't think capitalism, I don't think that, I don't, I'm not sure that I actually think capitalism can collapse.
Can.
Right. Like, I think that...
The economic system...
There's a bajillion things that can change.
There's something there that can't collapse. I mean, we're going to have something no matter what happens. But, capitalism as we know it might collapse.
Well, sure, but that's not capitalism, and so I mean,
it might be.
But it doesn't exist. But it doesn't exist. The same capitalism doesn't exist everywhere already, and so I mean, it doesn't, right? The thing that might collapse in the United States is lack of regulation. I mean, I just think it's basically, I mean, communism was never actually even communism, right? Because all of those countries had to function in a capitalist world economic system, and all the people in those countries still had to buy and sell shit. And when they weren't allowed to, they did it on the black market, And when they didn't have cash, they bartered. And all those things are supply and demand market economics, right? And so from an economics perspective, what communism is command economy and state ownership of the means of production. And in reality, capitalism can coexist with a great mix of those things, right? Capitalism, and so what do you call it? Is that even a useful frame, right? If you have the state, state ownership of some stuff.
The capitalism versus command economy dichotomy is the only choice.
Well, I'm saying that neither one of those things has ever actually existed the way that people typify them. And so as a typology, like everywhere you have a mix of government ownership, private ownership, government regulation, and lack of regulation, and you have government setting of prices in some fields, right? And that's why you see all these right-wingers now saying the Democrats are socialists, because they want to set prices for drugs.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a tremendous range of the way capitalism is implemented and the extent to which there's public ownership or not public ownership or social welfare or not social welfare. I mean, there's a vast variety of that throughout the world. I do think at this point in time, there is a system you can call capitalism that overarches all of that, and that's global, and that sort of sets the rules of the game. That doesn't mean there's no flexibility under that, but I think that there is that, and I'm not settled on the question of what kind of better society we could organize. It might be a capitalist society, but a better capitalist society. It might not be a capitalist society because it's not clear to me that there are not laws of capitalism that preclude stretching too far in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me that any of these folks who have theories about capitalism without megacorporations aren't just like wishful thinking.
Well, in theory, right, all you got to have is government regulation that prevents big corporations, and then you won't have them.
In theory. But, you know.
No, but I totally agree with you, right, that, you know, when you make laws that say you can't have companies bigger than this, then the people who want to amass wealth just come up with different names for a whole bunch of little companies that are all part of the same thing. I mean, you know.
That's what happened, right? When AT&T was broken up back in the early 20th century.
Ultimately, what you have to do is social reconditioning, right? You have to change society so that people don't become greedy thugs. Because if people are greedy and don't care about the rest of humanity, then inevitably they will, whether it's communism as we have had it, right? Or whatever kind of market-based system you have, they'll take advantage of the rules to the detriment of other people. And I think that's fundamentally something that I think Marx understood, right? That you have to have social change. But I don't think it's something that a lot of revolutionary political parties got, right? That you have to, and this is where the thing about how you raise children comes in, right? That you've got to raise children to be people that care about other human beings, and then that means you have to reconcile decisions about violence and about confrontation and about how you deal with the enemy, right? And how you put, you know, who you call an enemy and how you explain to your children that those are human beings but their life isn't worth the same thing as somebody else's. But all of those things, if you're trying to create a society where people will not be greedy, right, that it creates conflicts.
Yeah, I think that you're fundamentally right, and I think Gramsci was onto this in terms of thinking about long-term cultural, educational change is necessary. You can't just overthrow the government and expect things to be all that different.
Especially since that's happened a lot. We've seen...
Yeah, we've seen it. We know that that's true.
Revolutionary leaders just turn into new petty dictators.
Or, you know, we've seen emancipation in the United States and the overthrow of slavery, and we've seen it come right back in a variety of forms.
Well, I think that's where you have to be nuanced. Where you, I think it would be very dangerous to argue that slavery was not worse.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
But then you have to say, then you just recognize that it's that there's a process that things don't get fixed once and for all.
Right. No, I think it's great that slavery was overthrown, and I think the world has been better off for that. I just think that all of the reasons why slavery was created in the first place
are still
existed after slavery was abolished. And so it was just simply a more open struggle.
Right. Tracy, there's a cup of coffee if you want. I mean, there's a whole lot of coffee over there, but there's a cup, a mug that's coffee if you want some.
But I do think that you're right about the fundamental importance of the human being and the family and the community and the values that the institutional culture or the values that we live by and the long training and example that goes into developing those things and dealing with those kinds of issues like violence and greed and all those other things at the level of the family, and but also at the level throughout the schools and
right.
all of society. On the other hand, I do not believe that in itself can be the solution. And here's the reason, because I believe that you will still be confronted with power relations.
Yeah, I think...
And there's a contradiction there.
No, I think that that's obvious, and I think I get a little frustrated sometimes when we talk about this stuff, because I think that you are always battling a perceived enemy in terms of, you know, the fact that I said what I said makes you feel that you need to defend the idea that just raising your kids well isn't enough. And I would never argue, right? So what I was saying was...
I'm not really thinking so much about you personally.
I know. I'm talking
thinking
about the way
religion,
you,
for instance.
Right, I'm thinking about...
Are you recording yourself?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you want
to be part of it?
Hi.
I was saying that you can't leave that element out of your revolutionary plan.
I think many revolutionaries, if not most, have left that out. And, you know, I think that we... And when I say we, I mean Workers' Viewpoint, Communist Workers' Party, probably a lot of the other groups, did and didn't leave that out. Particularly in times of siege and devastation and a wrong analysis about what was going on in the world that made us feel like things were up for grabs within the next 5 years. You know, there was a lot of reasons for it, but I think when you're in a survival push towards the finish line mode, or whatever you want to call it, you make sacrifices that sacrifice time with family, community. You sacrifice yourself on the altar of the struggle.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we didn't necessarily do a good job raising our kids, but it does mean that there were a lot of things that we didn't do if we hadn't been operating that way. I mean, I think it's partly like when there are revolutions in Cuba or wherever else, El Salvador, Nicaragua, the fact is they still function within the framework of that capitalist system and the tremendous power and pressure of that capitalist system around them, and they get in the state of siege mentality and they circle the wagons and they have all kinds of authoritarian stuff that seems needed to protect them against the CIA and, you know, you can't have free speech because the CIA is going to fund your newspaper and make it say certain things and all kinds of things like that. But I think that it's this whole thing about greedy people and the culture you're saying. I think that harsh as it is to say, I have seen what I think you could describe as incredibly self-sacrificing principled people who believe in the common good and working for the people, serving the people, like Mao said, move from being those kinds of people to people who seek places in the world of wealth and comfort and getting ahead. And I think an awful lot of the people in our organization continue to work for the people in an awful lot of ways. But after...
Daddy, nobody wants to be poor. And
No, that's not the point.
Well,
nobody wants to be poor.
I'm just saying that what you're describing is the trajectory that 95% of the people in the world would choose for themselves if they could. Poor people do not romanticize working class life, and they do what they can to get out of it.
Well, we're a group of people who did whatever we could to get into it. And we had the perfect opportunity to be out of it.
Right.
And it's not that people want to be poor. You know, it's not that people
hey.
Hate poor.
Hey!
We've got some animals.
Animals? Hi, how are you?
Good.
Here, let me turn this off. It's recording.
Recording.
No.